Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In my first church, I knew that I had a lot to learn. I knew that sometimes I'd have a great sermon and other times not so much. And one particular Sunday, I really felt as if I hit a home run, and I was waxing poetic in the service, and at the end of the service, someone came up to me, and instead of saying, you know, good sermon, good job, she said, you know, if we don't watch it, we're going to lose our youth. I said, okay. Now, there was nothing I could do at that point in time except feel badly, and I went home, kind of crushed. Someone else called me that day, another lady of the church, and she said, Pastor, I just want you to know what an inspirational service that was, and that your sermon really touched my heart. Yes! Now, both ladies had been at that service. Both were paying attention. And I have to tell you something about the ladies. It wasn't as if one was faithful to the church and one wasn't. They were both workers in the church. One was a Bible teacher and one sang in the choir. They both liked me, so I knew it wasn't anything personal. I was at both of their homes and broke bread with them. The one who was complaining about the youth, I had a very fine relationship with her daughters. So it wasn't as if this lady didn't accept the message because she didn't like me. So what was the difference? You can be in worship every Sunday and not hear the voice of God. I look at that wonderful story of Simeon and Anna. There must have been a lot of people in the temple that day. It wasn't like our church services now where we have set times of worship. I'm sure they did on the Sabbath, but the temple was in use every day. And at any given time, you had a lot of people in the temple. You'd have teachers of the law were in the temple. You'd have the priests in the temple. You'd have tourists, people coming from a distance, and they come to worship in the temple of Jerusalem and to look at how beautiful it was. You'd have people who were coming, like Mary and Joseph, to bring their infant for dedication to the temple. It was a place of activity. And throughout that, all these devout people coming into that temple on the day that the infant Jesus came in, and only two knew the significance. And those two were Simeon and Anna. How come the priests didn't know? How come the teachers of the law who studied about the Messiah didn't know? We can be in church and worshiping and still not hear the voice of God. The people who did, I think, can teach us a lot. First, there was Simeon. Now, Simeon said was righteous and devout, and he was looking for the comforter of Israel. He was praying for this Messiah. And I think the reason that God gave Simeon such a favor of seeing God's Christ was because Simeon always prayed for something bigger than himself. I'm sure at some points he prayed for his own needs, but it seems like Simeon was always praying for his nation, praying for his community, always in prayer and supplication for the needs of others. And the great favor that he was given, God told him that before he died, he would see something spectacular. And led by the Spirit, I'm not even sure it was his turn to go into the temple that day, but he was guided by the hand of the Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every day we could be guided by the hand of the Spirit of the living God? Guide us even when we're shopping. And guide us to a person who needs a word of comfort and of cheer. Guide us in the community. Guide us in our family. Guide the way we speak to each other. That happens when we're in prayer. That happens when we're in devotion and when we're praying for something bigger than ourselves. But I think the more compelling story is Anna's. Anna was there every single day. Anna, as a young woman, because most people married when they were very young, had a husband, and after 7 years he died. Now, in those days, there were no IRAs, there was no retirement plan, there was no death insurance, there was nothing. If a widow was left, it all depended on the niceness, the kindness of the husband's family. And it seemed that more often than not, widows were disenfranchised. Even if the husband was wealthy, all that wealth would revert to the husband's family. And if they liked her, she was okay. And if not, she was out of luck. A widow was not honored in Israel. Women were property, and she was the property of no one. And I am sure that life was very difficult for Anna. But Anna made a decision very early on in her life. After her husband died, she had a choice. She could be bitter, she could be angry, she could go around saying, life has ended for me, this society is unfair, and it was grossly unfair, and everything she felt would have been accurate. But she made a decision, and her decision was to come into that temple every day and worship. And we make a decision to worship. Didn't matter what the circumstances were. So instead of being an embittered old person who had no family, she was in the temple with a joyful spirit, worshiping and thanking God every day. Now, it doesn't say in the Bible that she was promised anything. It doesn't say that she was guided by the Spirit to that temple that day. She was there day and night. And as she's ministering in the temple, she perceives that that child was a holy child. And she takes this child and then she starts talking about this baby and what this baby meant for the people of Israel. She started to prophesy over that baby and with anybody who wanted to hear. To get to an age where you're alone, where life has not handed you the Holy Spirit to see the joy, to see the beauty. That infant Jesus was present for all to see, but only two really saw him. Everybody else saw another baby with maybe cute little baby, and they might have oohed and aahed, but that was about it. They saw two poor people bringing their child in. Anna and Simeon saw the Son of the Living God. How will it be with us this year? When we're in worship, will we really hear the voice of God? We need to let go of the bitterness. We need to let go of the things that we think are so unfair and begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then each time we're in worship, there will be something that the Spirit of God will speak to us. I hope that's true of all of us in 2012. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that although all those people missed it, there were at least two who got the message. And I ask this year that you would help us to get the message of your joy, the message of your peace, the message of your hope, the message that life can be different. And so, Lord, I ask that you would heal those who have had bitterness of heart and soul.